Call to order, Finance Committee, April 7th, 2020. Comments from the public, Mr. John Q or Richard or whoever you are?
Yes, I have a comment.
Okay.
I'd like to discuss the transfer of $245,000 to the security budget in the proposed budget. I sent you guys an email regarding the subject.
Yes, I got it.
Can you review what is happening? You've raised our security tax the maximum legal limit by 2%, but the security budget is still short by $245,000, and you can't legally increase our security tax anymore. So what do? You could have chosen to reduce staffing at RMA's gate so it wasn't manned 24/7. But no, here's what you've chosen to do. You've raised our water and sewer rates by $245,000. Then you moved $245,000 from the general fund to security. This is what they call a shell game. It's a scam. And let me tell you guys something. You guys own this now. And as a result of this scam, the residents of Murrieta Village, just us alone, will be paying an extra $17,000 to $30,000 next year. And that money is going to be used to support RMA's private gate. And I don't know whether or not this is a criminal act or not, but it should be. And I say this in all seriousness, without any hyperbole, and I don't say it lightly. If you persist with this plan, you guys belong in jail. I suggest that at the minimum, you consult with Mr. Shanahan about this. And I suggest that maybe Wise, individually, consult with your lawyers about any possible criminal liability. And as one final thought, I can almost guarantee what I just said will not be included in the minutes of this meeting. If that happens, somebody needs to be fired. Well, that's all I got to say.
Okay, do anybody have any other comments or anybody want to address that?
This is Mark. Richard, your comments are in the minutes just via this recording. They're established in the minutes. I would also say that the use of general fund is funded by property taxes throughout the community. And so it is discretionary funds for use by the district as I understand it. So it's something we can investigate with research with Mr. Shanahan, but it's something worthy of a little bit more research, but I believe it is appropriate.
Part of what I think for starters would have to be investigated is if in fact, and this has all come about because of, we've had this discussion several times before, the fact that the existing security tax is inadequate to fund security on an annual basis. And it has been, the targets on that security tax when it was initiated were projected at a $750,000 annual level. And we're already well past $1 million. And as we continue to do this, you do run into allocation problems because I haven't really been able to completely think it through, but if you take $245,000 of that, you really have to break out that $245,000 because the part of it that's applicable to gate operations really is not applicable to commercial or to the village.
Excuse me, John, we're getting into a detailed discussion on this.
Okay.
An agendized item. We could place it on the board meeting for discussion.
Yeah, put it on the board meeting for discussion.
All right.
We've finally really arrived at that point where, you know, we're way outside of what that tax calls for, and every year it's going to get bigger and bigger until we deal with it. So put it on the agenda, I'd appreciate that.
Right. And the same issue with drainage.
How would you like that to read, the agenda item, Mr. Merchant?
I'll send you an email.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm just rather than go over the, you know, trying to bring it out of my head at the moment. I will. And Richard, I'll copy you on it so you'll see what it is.
Okay, thank you.
Mark, this is Tim. My question would be, is it too early to go to the full board? Is this something that should stay at the finance committee and we figure out kind of the scope or the understanding? Once we understand that, we break it out, we figure out the numbers. Then once we have a better idea, do we then take it to the board or John, are we thinking that we just have a concept and we just have the board say, yes, it needs to be looked into, or is this something that should stay working at where it's going to be worked out anyways at the finance committee and we just report back to the board, not necessarily making an agendized item, but in our report out that this is what we're working on. Should the board have some concerns or want to go a different direction, then they would then give it to us. Just food for thought.
Here's what the only part of it on the immediate side that concerns me is for this current budget, and I don't know, Tom, maybe you know better what we should do here, but I really think if somebody needs to address that allocation of the $245,000 from the standpoint is, okay, is it general fund money and we just do what we want, or is it a legitimate consideration that because we're dumping it into a big security bucket, that it should be dumped in under the parameters that, you know, we create our sample bills with right now, in that we are, I think, in some respects here, asking people to contribute to gate operations that really shouldn't be doing that.
Well, is it okay, sure, if I chime in for a second?
Sure.
So when we did the budget presentation on the 26th of March, we provided somewhat of a raw spreadsheet for each of the, a raw budget report for each of the funds. And I discussed that we hired a company, ClearSource, to do a formal cost allocation plan, which they've given us basically their final draft last week, and we're trying to review it this week. But when you get the formal cost allocation, then you distribute the administrative dollars on it in an official basis from this approved cost allocation plan. So the $245,000, basically $345,000, is property tax receipts, and it is discretionary fund. And it's been allocated the same way for the last 4 years, 3 or 4 years. Now, in producing the cost allocation plan, when we bring the budget on May 20th for the first reading, we expect to have that implemented into the budget worksheets. So you'll see security and drainage, the percentage of the property tax monies or the amount of the property tax monies they need to continue to maintain operations in the status quo. As far as the water and sewer costs under Prop 218, those costs are supposed to be self-supportive, and that's why we have to produce the rate sheet every year. So I get what Richard is saying, but I'm not sure all the information has been transparently provided. And I believe that's the direction we're going once we apply the formulas out of the cost allocation plan to the budget worksheets and make the budgets balance. So there will be a portion of administration that stays in the administrative budget because it's pure, like holding meetings and such like this, but much of the general fund expenditures are allocated to water, sewer, drainage, and security, and a little bit to solid waste. So it's too early to tell what exactly that looks like when you look at the budget worksheets next time around, but it is in the plan to get there. And we do have pretty much everything in line that we've been working on for the past few months to be able to have that transparency that I think the public is wanting to see.
Part of that, in line with the transparency, there's when you look at the message we send out, you know, the proposed rate increase, and you go through, you know, how the rate changes will impact the monthly bill. Part of what's concerned me forever is, you know, we do in this communication create a false illusion where under security and drainage, people see that and they go, oh, my security went up 2%. Well, it didn't go up 2%. It went up $245,000 plus 2%. So there needs to be, from a transparency standpoint, even if it's footnoted, I think in some way, we really ought to be communicating that what you're seeing there is not the whole bill. And it just takes it one step further, like I've been saying forever, is, you know, it's kind of like pointing somewhere to a referendum on this, like, folks, what do you want to pay for here? You know? And so it all kind of ties together. But I don't know, like with what Tim suggests, I'm more than happy to work it out or talk it through in any venue that we want. And probably, maybe it is a finance thing, but from a timing standpoint, I don't know, you know, how we want to do this. In other words, do we want to wait a month for a meeting, or, you know, what do you think we need to do? I don't know.
Are you asking?
My understanding.
I'm asking anybody, right, who's got an answer.
Right. My understanding is what we're doing is at a special district level is totally appropriate. Now, with that being said, I think we can have that request of Mr. Shanahan start that process. To me, it would be easier if we need to have another finance committee when we get some more information. It's easier to have those type of working groups than it is the full board. That was my thought process for keeping it at this level, because at the end of the day, it's got to work through here before it goes to the board anyways. So if we own it at this level, keep the board advised, it'll be easier for us to have these types of meetings than a special board meeting per se.
Mark?
I would agree with what Ken says.
I agree.
Okay. That's fine with me.
This is Amelia then. With that being said, I am not going to add this to the April 15th meeting. Are those my instructions, gentlemen?
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
So you want to go back to where we should be, Tom? Item 3?
Item 3.
Can I say one more thing?
Sure, Richard.
I wasn't going to say anything more, but after that meeting and sitting down and reviewing the presentation and all the numbers, I did have a lot of questions and concerns, and I wasn't going to say anything more. But one of my concerns is that I don't see any separate accounting and security between the gate and patrol services or whatever else is involved. And that seems like something that is needed. Maybe behind the scenes there, you've got it, but as a resident of Murrieta Village, I really think they need to be separate, and we ought to be able to see what is the cost of the gate and what is the cost of patrol services. Because I want to know what my money is covering. I want to know what RMA residents' money is covering. And quite frankly, I don't want my money covering RMA's private gate. I mean, that's what it is. It is their private gate. I mean, you can call it what you want. You can call it general name security, but it remains their private gate. They're in control of it, and all you're doing is manning it. And I guess you get the message very emphatically. I don't want to pay for their private gate, especially due to the fact that they're using their private gate to exclude me and the other residents of the village. I mean, that's, well, I guess I've said all I need. There are a few other things. Just totally separate. Let me ask one other question. I went through those numbers and I was wondering how, you know, the developer fees for security, you know, they pay for security cameras. Where do they show up on that sheet? Are they in there someplace?
The developer fees for security?
Yeah.
Yeah, those are, where is that?
Those should be under security impact fees. They're reserve funds.
Yeah.
They're not operating funds.
I'm looking for the item. Yeah, the reserve funds aren't listed in these worksheets. The fees, the permit fees that people pay. I'm trying to look at, see which one those are. That's a good question, Richard. I'd rather answer it after this meeting.
But okay. Tom, I have the account number if that helps you.
The fees go directly into the reserve accounts when the developer fees are made. And those accounts are what is Jeff has the account because we just proposed using those accounts to pay for some camera enhancements at the village.
And what is that account number?
500. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Hey, Jeff, let's just share this information offline. We don't need to get.
Okay.
Okay.
But Richard, can I point out that the village lots pay $731 or proposed to pay $731 a month for.
I'm fully aware of that.
This is the $30.33.
Yeah, that I was just about to raise that point. We've always isolated the cost within the tax and presented that as inside and outside of the gates, and that is what's reflected in those 2020 numbers, the $30 versus $7. I mean, that's what the difference is. It's 365 days a year, 24 hours a day gate operations.
And they are
$22. That's $22 in the bill right there.
Yeah. Now, I'm fully aware of that, but you know, everything gets automatically increased 2%, and things, I don't know where it stands right now. And beyond that, there's the $17,000 to $30,000 that we're paying extra this year because of it. And, you know, what's the story there?
Those are from property taxes, Richard.
I know. Okay. One other question that came up, I was looking at those sheets. It was my understanding that when the security department was enforcing RMA's CCNRs, that they were actually getting paid to do that. But I didn't see anything about that in the numbers that I was seeing. Is that true or is it not?
It is true. It's a small amount each month. It's been in place for many, many years. And it's just, it's in the miscellaneous income category. Or no. It's under the fines and rule enforcement category.
Okay. And offhand, do you know what that monthly amount is?
I think it's about $450 a month, Richard.
Okay. I assume that's $450, not $4.50.
Correct.
Okay.
Cindy, are you on the line? Do you have that number off the top of your head? Okay, I guess Sydney's not on.
Well, I'm happy with that. Just a general ballpark is good enough.
Yeah, it's been going on. It happens. They get it on their monthly statements. We reviewed that last week. We're reviewing all of our fees as much as we can between now and May 20th. And then you may recall in the budget presentation, we have money set aside, or money requested to conduct a security fee analysis because it hasn't been done since 1997-98. So we're hoping that, you know, it won't change the amount that is needed, but it may change the distribution, but who pays what?
Okay, I'm through with my comments.
Are we still, Tom, are you still working your way through number three here?
Number three is pretty simply, we issued the Prop 218 notice. You guys should have gotten it on Saturday, Friday or Saturday.
Yeah, I'm looking at it, yeah.
Okay. The other thing is we've received the final draft of the cost allocation plan from ClearSource, and we need to sit here and start working that way, you know, start mixing it into the budget worksheet so we can have, we can take advantage of current information. And then, you know, as if people want to protest the Prop 218 notice, they need to do so in writing, and they either mail it to or drop it off at the district offices. They're not allowed to do it by email. And then other than that, we're preparing for the first reading of the budget on May 20th, and we're reviewing fees to make sure all the properties are being billed correctly. It's a very complex process. I don't know that it's been reviewed anytime recently. Again, that's why we're asking for the study on the theory and such. And that's about it. We're on schedule.
The one number I'd be interested in having, Tom, and you can email it to me or whenever. What is the total amount this year that we're going to get allocated from the county property tax money?
I can give you that number in just a couple clicks. If you just bear with me for just a second. Our estimate is that we're going to receive, let me make sure I'm looking at the right stuff. We're going to receive a total of $701,750 in property taxes, in total property taxes. The straight property tax, which basically what you all are paying in a few days, what we all are paying in a few days, is estimated to be $655,000.
How much was that number?
$655,000 from properties.
Okay.
And a total of $702,000 overall taxes. You see.
And when they give you that number, so that 655 number, is that based on the April 10th payment, or is that based on both payments?
It's based on both payments. April, it's April and November, right? Or April, October?
December and April, I think it is. Yeah.
It's based on the current assessment. So the county has some very complex valuations of property. And so they send us preliminary numbers, and we look at them, and we look at the growth. And then, of course, when homes are sold, the property tax paid by the new owner is usually a whole lot more than the previous owner.
Right.
And so that's called the supplemental tax. And we estimated the supplemental tax to be $30,000 next year. It's all a guess. We're trying to be conservative. You know, I believe we were within about $20,000 of our estimate in the current fiscal year.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the best we can do is just that, and then not overestimate the revenue, but try to be smart with it so we're not making excuses in May.
Okay. Any more there? Item three?
That's good. Item three is good.
Questions, anybody? Item four, COVID-19.
Okay, well, I'll walk through this. We all know what's going on and how it's affecting everybody. What I'd like to do today is give an update on the COVID-19 and to do a couple things. One, I want to just during this committee meeting, review our activities related to the COVID-19 crisis within the district, administrative staff and operational staff, and then approve the creation of a COVID-19 sick leave bank, which is required by federal law under the CARE Act, I believe it's called, for all employees who have, Amelia, do you have that flyer? You don't have to put it up yet. Okay, now there it is. So that's number two. So to begin with, can you go back to the memo, Amelia? So to begin with, on Tuesday, March 17th, about 2 o'clock, I believe Mark got a call telling us that all non-essential workers had to be working from home ASAP. Fortunately, under the leadership of the district, we were prepared to the point where we got the notice on Tuesday, and by Wednesday afternoon, most of our workers were working at home without a hiccup. We also were able to work with Paul and Jeff, and they modified their staff's hours to try to create an environment where there's as little social distancing problems as possible. And I believe Paul changed the scheduling for his staff to go to 4/10s for a while. And I forget exactly what Jeff did, but basically there's been very little disruption in district services as a result of item number one. If Jeff or Paul can comment, if there's been any issues that you want to talk about?
No, this is Paul. No issue with my staff as of yet. We've separated out the operations and utility staffs that normally met in the general same area. Now operations staff is meeting at our wastewater facility and setting up an operations office there. And they're working remotely on laptops as much as possible when they need to be on the computer systems, as well as at the water plant. And so everybody's spread out, and we've also spread the staffing, like Tom was saying, utilizing a 4/10 schedule so that there's only one day of overlap where we had 3 days of overlap previously. And so far, everything's pretty good.
And this is Jeff, if Paul's done. With the nature of my department being 24/7, we didn't modify our schedule at all. But what we did is, as you know, we closed the gatehouse to public access. We've received no complaints about anybody not being able to be at the gatehouse or receive any services there. We've had to modify a couple processes, like with barcode applications, and then RMA had modified that, but I'm not aware of any issues in regards to getting residents their barcodes. We did institute and remind people of social distancing, so we're minimizing the number of staff that's in the gatehouse together at the same time, because anybody that's been to either one of the gates knows there's not a lot of room in there, and in order to keep at least 6 feet, it's not that easy. So we're not allowing staff to congregate or be more than one to two at the most, if only they're providing a break. Other than that, it's one staff member at a time on duty in the gatehouse. We have, I placed an order this morning for masks for all district personnel, including admin. Hopefully we'll receive those within a week. I put the order in as a public safety first responder company so that they can process this ahead of the general public. These are reusable. They can be washed and reused up to 30 times. So as soon as we get those, we'll deploy those to all the district staff. Other than that, really no issues or problems. We've just been operating as normal business.
Okay. And then item number two is the COVID immediate sick leave act. So let's go to that one now, Amelia, and bring up that poster. So basically, part of the president's action required that all businesses create an 80-hour paid sick leave bank for all employees. And what that means is if somebody meets the qualification, so if you go down a little bit, Amelia, into the boxes, so those are qualifying events for somebody to get, be able to use the COVID-19 sick leave bank. And you can see it's, they have to be isolated. They have a family member who's isolated. They themselves have an issue. And then also if they're caring for family members or experiencing any substantial similar condition. And so what we did with this is I worked with Tanya to kind of look at what our exposure was. You can go back to the memo now and go down to the last part of page one and the top of page two, and it talks about it. But we decided to just start to put our foot on. If we took all of our staff and we randomly picked 10% of our staff, which is basically three people, and had them go off work for 2 weeks 2 weeks during the term, which is April 1 through December 31st of this year. Our estimate, it was really more like $10,970 and $20,450. But so we just said we're ranging between a 10 and 20% exposure to $10,000 and $20,000. We'll be a little bit more finite on those numbers by the time we get to May. So what we're hoping to do is just kind of absorb any issues that happen in the current fiscal year and not worry about creating a specific budget line item, but then to create a budget line item for the next fiscal year budget. So you can see that on the budget reports. And of course that means we add say $17,000 or $18,000 as an expense, as an expenditure line item, where we're going to have to adjust in other areas. And that's what we'll end up doing over the next few weeks. So basically, kudos to staff for being real flexible and getting home to work, and everybody's working. It's pretty obvious that we're all staying busy all the time. And then also, I think where the committee can approve us just creating this budgetary line item going, you know, for the current year and for going into next year. I'm not sure whether or not this needs to go to the board, but that's at the pleasure of the committee. Any discussion?
Well, not really. I mean, I don't see any problem with creating a line item for it. Are we at the point where we would know that anybody is taking advantage of this or potentially will?
Well, no one's taken, we're not aware of any staff dealing with themselves or a family member related to the COVID-19 crisis. And, you know, it's rolling the dice to see if anything like that happens.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I just wondered at this point, have we had anybody that needs this kind of assistance?
No.
Okay.
I think two things. I agree with John. Let's make it a line item. I think the dollar amount is appropriate. I would ask, as time allows, that we retrospectively go back and look and see if staff used anything from the calendar year on. I get the April 1 start date, but in fact, the Chinese virus, the COVID-19, has been around since January. So if we've had somebody, we might have to have some discussions at the board level. So I would just say, we know as of right now we have somebody, we might have had somebody in this calendar year already. So I would say if staff has time, we just look at the time and attendance, and then we can deal that as an isolated issue.
Tim, I'll have that answer for you in just a second, because Todd just sent Tanya a message to ask her. But I think what you will find, or Mark and I actually discussed this, some of our employees since January have been, you know, have taken 2 or 3 days off that normally never take time off for a serious flu. I think once the testing gets out there where they can test to see if you've had it and now you have an immunity to it, we may find that some of our employees did in fact have the virus, and they just fought it off without having to have all the issues that we're seeing, you know, on a worldwide basis.
I would agree. That's what is trending nationwide right now. Some are seeing folks as early as October of 19 that were exposed here in the country. And it was a 1 or 2, 3 day flu type thing, and they moved on. But we won't know that until vaccine, and then you're tested before you get the vaccine type of thing. But again, minor issue. If we didn't spot a trend or it didn't jump out at us, then let's move on. I don't want to take up staff time.
Okay, well, we'll find out, and we'll report back. I'm sure that it's going to be a requirement. The other thing we're doing is we're tracking our expenditures and some of our time related to meeting the requirements.
Absolutely.
Addressing the virus. And at some point in time, the feds will come out with a reimbursement program.
Correct.
So we're separating that. We're making extra copies of invoices, putting them in the right place. We're tracking our time in paychecks And that's what we're doing.
Yeah, one of the things that in listening to the, like, even the improvements meeting this morning, if it's like 2008, when they get this stimulus package put together, they're going to be running around like wild men looking for what they call then shovel ready projects. And just in our thinking, I think it's time to start, if nothing else, thinking about what do we got, because there's like this whirlwind of money that flies around in the beginning of these things. And, you know, if some of it were to fly our way, that wouldn't be bad.
Okay.
You want to move on to the next item?
I do. So in addition to the federal requirement to create the leave bank, we also have a local requirement to discontinue shutting off water meters. And also we've decided to discontinue the late fees. So basically the governor came out with executive order N-42-20.
Tom, are you down to item number A6, utility billing?
Agenda. Hold on.
I think we may have.
I did. My fault. I was looking at my next memo on my screen and not the agenda. So this item number 5 has to do with, we've received about 90% of the Prop 84 grant reimbursement. It's basically $444,000. And then we're waiting to get the final payment, which they call holdback, of 10% of about $49,000. And we're going through that entire package to make sure that all those funds are what we are going to keep. And we're pretty confident that that's the case. And rather than provide you with dozens of documents and reports, we just decided we would report out verbally that we've received the funds. It's in the bank, and the 444 grand are in the bank right now. And then we are working to provide a closure report to either the committee or maybe the board at some point in time. It's a pretty sizable amount of funding. And it's a, you know, Paul and his staff and Mark, all the work they did in December and January to make all that happen was amazing. And we did a lot of good work, and it was well done by district staff and really benefits the district as a whole. So that's all we wanted to report out on that item. Are there any questions?
If I could add something, Tom, so those funds are going into the water supply augmentation reserves. So if anyone had a question about where those land.
That's a really good point.
You want to put the agenda back up for a minute, Amelia?
How's that?
There we go. Okay. Utility billing update, I guess, Tom, right? Item 6.
Item 6. So we're in about our third month of the billings going through a service. They also are the company that produced our Prop 218 notices, the mailing. We still have a couple small issues we're working out on some of the bill calculations and stuff, but I think it's been a really good transition from doing all this manually to having it sent out and having it taken care of by another company. And the timing couldn't have been more perfect, because our staff spent a lot of time in the office doing the work to do the mailings each month, and being able to just send an email or upload an FTP file and have it done has been a really good benefit to the district and meeting the customer service levels and also meeting the needs to be, you know, working from home. The other part about this is that the governor, in his, I got to bring up another screen. So this is where I was saying the governor indicated or made an executive order N-42-20 that prevents water districts such as ourselves from shutting off water meters for non-payment during the crisis. And fortunately for us, and we talk about it a lot because I think it's a good show of the customer service and how it's good to work with the residents to pay their bills. We haven't had but three lockoffs in the past 3 months, and we had zero last month. So part of the governor's order was that any occupied homes with a water lockoff had to have their waters unlocked. And we had none of those. So we kind of just dovetailed right into this without any trouble. We do have the ability in our utility billing system to create pay agreements. It's a function we haven't used in the past because generally our pay agreements were like one every other month. And so we could manage that by just keeping track with notes on in the folders each month. But now, given the fact that we may have a number of people who are under a financial crisis because of the COVID-19, that we have activated the pay agreement program. And I haven't sat down with Tanya yet to see what that looks like in the form of reporting, but I'm sure that there's a way that we're going to be able to report that we entered into 20 pay agreements this month, and you know that results in this much money being on the books as a receivable. So that being said, we're going to start issuing the pay agreements, and we just thought the finance committee needed to know we were doing such.
Yeah, I guess you're right. As we go forward, maybe it's something we want to track and report. But yeah, that's fine. I mean, it doesn't sound like a big problem at the moment.
And one question has come up as to why, you know, how are we going to determine that somebody is eligible for receiving, you know, a waiver on making their bill payment on any given month? And, you know, without making it a big do, we're kind of sitting back and watching what CSDA is recommending, because they generally are very proactive in providing guidance to the districts as to what to do as these new things come up. I don't see us in the first few months asking people to bring in, you know, a letter of being laid off or any, you know, lack of paychecks or bank statements or anything. I just think we're just going to have to go on the honor system to begin with and then wait and see what CSDA guidelines produce. And then we'll react we should know by this time next month what our environment is like.
Right.
I agree, Tom. I also think it needs to be separated out from the standpoint that depending on how this stimulus package, it's not really a stimulus package, but the federal funds are distributed, those costs are the costs of doing business for the Chinese originated disease here. So the concern I would have is we must track that, because there might be, because of the state and federal funding, we're going to have to be able to show those costs, if that makes sense. And so, yes, I think we need to keep it separate out, just like we're doing everything else on all the costs that are there.
Yeah, and I'm confident that our utility billing software does that as a separate report.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
That's all I have on that.
Okay. Are we down to comments, Amelia? Where's the...
We are down to... Let me bring it up. Yes, sir.
So just going back to the beginning of the meeting, when is somebody then going to recommend another scheduled date for a finance meeting, or are we going to go to the board meeting first and then recommend a time for a meeting? What are we going to do there?
I think this is Mark.
Yeah.
And I think the best thing to do is to engage legal counsel first and see how complicated that review will be. And that'll instruct us as to when it'll be reasonable to have the next meeting with a discussion on this.
Okay. But when you talk to him, I'm really interested in knowing how just from his standpoint, this allocation of property tax money to supplement a service that we a long time ago as a community voted to pay for with a tax. I really want to understand how that all fits together.
Correct. And we need to understand that for drainage also.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be the same deal. I mean, and you know, maybe through these discussions, we are finally reaching a point where we, you know, I've been saying it for years, but we really need a referendum on this. I mean, you know, you're pushing, not you, I mean, we're pushing, you know, this thing into the 1.5 million plus range on an annual basis. And I don't think even when we set up the tax, because I remember targets, kick-in targets at $750,000 on this thing. So we're almost double where we were when we considered this the last time.
Yeah.
So
and one of the things to understand with that, John, is, you know, beyond just what you could have analyzed back then, there's been other drivers to costs.
Sure.
Minimum wage increases mandated. There's been human resources and personnel and labor laws put in place that have increased our costs. You know, a number of other areas have increased that cost basis that weren't anticipated when the tax was put in place.
And part of what has always kind of concerned me is the on one side of this, we get a consistent demand for more service. And you know, in looking at the report that the chief didn't get to make when our meeting got, you know, abbreviated. You know, some of the numbers in there, at least to me, were overwhelming. And that's on one side of the equation. And on the other side is when we did do that security study, the only thing I really took away from that was in the questionnaire, the survey that we did in conjunction with it, where it really appears that people, while demanding and wanting all of those services, express no desire to pay for it. So at some point we need to resolve that, and maybe we're finally getting there.
Well, to answer your earlier question, I agree with you on your statement. To answer your earlier question, our next finance committee meeting is May 5th. It's not possible for us to put together a big presentation by next Wednesday, which is the next board meeting, because we still haven't even unwound the whole cost allocation plan.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to meld its way into the budget worksheet. But we could put it on the schedule for the finance committee on May 5th. If you wanted something different prior to that, we could, but if you give us the time to May 5th, there's 2 weeks between May 5th and the board meeting on the 20th, which is the first reading of the budget. And if it was necessary to have another meeting in there, we have a week window where we can schedule a follow-up meeting if that's what you wanted to do.
Yeah, I'm not pushing a meeting one way or the other. I'm just trying to understand what it is we want to do. Tim, what do you want to do?
I agree with your statement, Tom. The question that you're asking for, I think, is twofold. I agree we don't need a meeting. We are doing the current district practices that have been in place for several years. So this fiscal year of 2021, moving the allocation funds around is going to go as scheduled. The difference is we're just going to confirm with legal counsel. Now, obviously, if legal counsel tells us that we're not doing the state statute, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, then we're going to modify our practices. But with the current understanding that we have, I think we're moving forward with the current timelines. What's different is we're just going to get the cost allocations a little bit better, understand those. But we're just going to ask legal counsel for a confirmation of the practices that have been in place for several years with how we do the funds for drainage and security. So I don't see an extra meeting unless something comes back that dictates we need a change of practice. Otherwise, I think staff has the timelines, and really we're just asking that one question to legal counsel. Otherwise, the board understands the cost that we have and the allocation process that we have.
And yeah, I concur. The other thing I'm interested in doing at the board meeting, particularly, Tom, is I think it would be a good idea to at least mention that while our rate increase notice stipulates in drainage and security, you know, when you look at the charts, it shows that both of those areas, you know, are a 2% increase versus, you know, a 4.1 or 4.2% increase in water. But it's worth someone at least highlighting that really is not representative of the true cost of particularly security, because make sure that everybody understands that we are supplementing that budget, and by a sizable amount of money. I'm not sure as a percentage of the whole budget, I'm not sure sitting here, you know, what that is, but it's substantial. And that I think in the hearing at least should be highlighted.
Well, the total operating cost for security as proposed is almost a 6% increase. That does include the increase in the security hardware, the camera system upgrade that we're talking about doing. But salaries in general are 3.5% increase for the security budget, which is, you know, the majority of the expense in all government agencies is salaries. Even more so with public safety, and in this case, security, it's the vast majority of that budget. Almost $1.3 million of a $1.4.5 million budget is salaries. And those are negotiated salaries, and salaries for people who get increases, you know, because their longevity as our employees get more seasoned here in the district.
Sure. And I have no argument with any of the line items per se. What I think I'm saying, or I'm trying to say, is, you know, I think it's really time for the public to understand that, you know, it's costing us X to run security inside the district on an annual basis. And, you know, when you look down at where everybody's going to go on these things to the charts, it's not really, it does what it's supposed to do, but it's not really reflecting that. It's going, went up 2%. You know, I can live with that. When in fact it's going up more than 2%, and I'd really like people to understand the number, okay? Because we get all these cries for more and more and more of what we should be doing and the peace officer status and all this other stuff. Well, if it's costing $1.6 million to run this or $1.4 million to run it, you know, then certainly at the current rate over time, it's going to be within 5 years, it's going to be $2 million operation, just so you understand that. And if you're cool with that, great. Or if you're not, you're not. But I don't want to create any illusions of what this really costs and what it would
John
cost,
and I,
what it would cost to do more. I'm sorry, Tim.
Right. No, that's fine. I agree with you. I know we had some conversation, I believe it was at the last board meeting, over this. Specifically, I think once we get through the budget cycle and we look at the work that's going to be done by the consultant, we'll have a better idea of just really what that breakdown is. And we'll be able to know truly those costs for inside the gate, outside the gate type of situation. And we can probably reflect that onto the billing statement. Again, what we're doing for this fiscal year doesn't change. How we do some of the transparency or reporting out maybe is a better way of saying it. I think we're going to work that through on this fiscal period and it might start with the consulting, and then we figure out what do we want it to look like. So what you're talking about, John, is I've got security costs, say, inside the gates at X. Here's what you're paying, and then here's that funds that are allocated towards it. And we do the same for drainage, and we just start reporting out, and that will help us be prepared for the larger conversation that needs to be driven by the residents or our customers than necessarily being driven by the directors.
Right. Okay. Anybody else? Anything else?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Well, we're ready to adjourn then. Thank you, everybody. See you soon, maybe.
Staff, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Everyone have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thank you.